If you will, let's open our Bibles to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I hope to come back here often. Our text tonight will be the first 14 verses. John chapter 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So we read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Some of the old writers have said, and rightfully so, of course, they all have the same topic. The topic is the same: Christ Jesus and Him crucified. That doesn't change no matter what book you turn to in these scriptures. But one writer said Matthew wrote to the Jews. That's who he was writing to. Mark wrote to the Romans. Luke wrote to the Greeks, so they could understand too. They spoke as they could understand. And John wrote to all men about the deity, the godliness of Christ. He was God in human flesh. And we'll see this theme, if the Lord enables us to go through the Gospel of John, we'll see this theme throughout this book. He's God. That's who He is. I want to look at five things this evening. And as John did, I pray that I can just declare them. I just want to tell you, each of the letters that John wrote, beginning of Matthew and Mark and Luke, they did the same. They just declared the Gospel from the get-go. We called that bottom line up front. But for John, here in the Gospel of John, his first, his second, his third general epistle, Revelation, it all began straight to it. He got right after it. Paul always started Paul, comma, an apostle, comma. Paul and Timotheus, fellow servants, laborers, grace to you and peace to you. James said, James, comma, an apostle, grace to you and peace to you. What John's doing here is grace and peace. He's telling us plainly. All if we have ears to hear it. I want to touch on five things this evening. Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah, the Christ, Jesus Christ our Lord. He is God and man in our corrupt, wicked, religious, nasty, filthy state that we just think so clean wants nothing to do with Him. That's how we're born into this world. Without the love of Christ in us, we want nothing to do with Him. But for those chosen elect children, those that are His, throughout time, He sends a preacher to them. Someone to tell them this, to declare the holiness of God, to declare man's sinfulness and what Christ did for sinners. He hasn't neglected a one. He will not neglect a one. A preacher's going to come tell you about this. Somebody's going to come tell you. And through that work of God the Holy Spirit, we're created anew. When He comes to us in power through the Word, the spoken Word, We're created anew. We're born again of that incorruptible seed, and we're given eternal life. That's when our life was created, when we began. And all of that took place. It's all effectual. It's just. It's right. It's holy for God to do so because Christ became a man. We're going to see His person, who we're not, and His work. What He accomplished, what He did, the surety of His people. Christ, our substitute. He had to be like us to be our substitute. He became a man. All right, first, Christ is God. He's holy. He is life. He's the creator of all things, and He, the person, is the salvation of His people. Look here in verse 1. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. This doesn't make much sense. It's hard for our brains to understand this because we live in time, don't we? There was a time when there was no time. All there was the Lord, the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost were there. What was going on? I don't know. He may tell us in eternity. But there was a time when it pleased the Lord that time began, what we consider time. And at that moment, Christ was already the Word there. He was with God and He was God. That's important for us to hear. That seems like it's oversimplified, but we overcomplicate things, don't we? Before all this started, He was. He said, I am. They said, how can you know Abraham? You ain't even 50 years old yet. He didn't say, I used to be. He said, I am. That's an omnipresent God. We've heard something similar to this before, haven't we? In the beginning was the Word. Moses wrote to us. We just looked at it a few weeks ago there in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. Telling the same story, isn't he? John later in life told us, he said, for there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, capital W, same as here, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. They're one. There's no hierarchy. When I was a young son, I used to think that. That's all I knew. I hadn't experienced any different, been told any different. My dad was above me. So I thought it was God the Father and God the Son and the Holy Spirit was somewhere else. No, these three, they're three distinct persons in one. In one. The three are one. Turn over to Revelation 19. This began in Genesis. In the beginning, God. John told us in the beginning was the Word. He told us these three are one here in Revelation 19, verse 11. John writes to us again and says, I saw the heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful, capital F, and True, capital T. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. We sang that song gladly, don't we? Crown him with many crowns. The Lord's crowning. We just agree, don't we? Happily, rightfully so. And he had a name written that no man knew. People say, I found God. He had a name written that no man knew but himself. What's the name of this faithful one? The true one. This crowned one. The righteous judge. How are we going to know his name? He's the only one that knows it. He told us in Matthew 11, Christ spoke and said, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. He's the only one who knows that name. No one knows it but himself, and no one's going to know his name, his rightful name, and speak it from the heart unless it pleases him to reveal himself and his child. That's all that's going to happen. Look at verse 13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. So many people preach about Christ. They preach about the gospel, and they don't preach the gospel. You can't separate the two. The person of Christ is accompanied always by the work of Christ. The blood of Christ. That's going to be that's what John saw on that white horse. crowned. There's faithfulness. There's truth coming riding a horse. Righteous judgment. Righteous war. Fire in his eyes. Dipped in blood. That's his vesture. That's what he wore. And his name is called the Word of God. Capital W. We'll read more than just about this a physical word that we can buy and carry with us, isn't it? John's proclaiming and declaring Christ the Word. And that's what his written word declares from Genesis all the way through Revelation. It's about him. Christ the Word. And back in our text there in John 1. It says there in verse 3. This one who is God, all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. He made it all. In the beginning was the Word. He made everything. What did Moses write to us? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He made everything. Paul told us, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him. Why did he make all those things? And for him. For God. And he is before all things. And by him, all things consist. He sustains all things. Why does he do that? Why did Christ make everything? We've been looking in Genesis 1. Why did he create everything? Who's the prime minister of Turkey right now? I don't even know. Do they have kings or prime minister? I don't know. Lord put him there. Christ did. It pleased him. It's for him. Who's ruling our country right now? Whoever it pleases God to rule our country. Who's that for? The benefit of his people, for his glory. That's the truth, isn't it? Paul went on to say, there's a reason. For it pleased the Father that in Christ, the Word, should all fullness dwell. John begins this witness, his account, his written word of the gospel, speaking of the Father's Christ, his elect, his firstborn, the one in whom he is well pleased, Christ the Word. That's who he starts with. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Before time, we know it. During the time that we're in, and for eternity, he's God. That isn't us. That's something I chewed on for a long time. Who is that? It ain't me. And that's not anybody I know either. People think they are. They put themselves in the place of God, either as a prophet, or as a priest, or as a king, or as a ruler, or a decider, or a judge, or something. That ain't us. That ain't the nicest person you've ever met in your life. That's a drastic difference. Stark difference. Night and day, as the Lord says. He's light, we're darkness. That's the most innocent baby you've ever held in your arms. Not that. Night and day. This is the Holy God we're speaking of. Not the wisest king or queen that's ever ruled. We're all unclean. We're not clean. He is. We didn't come out of the womb worshiping God Almighty. We have to. Did you know that? You have to be conceived, not in sin. We began evil, didn't we? But the Word did. Christ the Word did. Every thought and every deed he ever had was holy and unreprovable and perfect. And he trusted the Father the whole time. What an incredible thought. That ain't me. Outside of him, that ain't me. Well, that's good news. Several times in the Psalms, we read about the birds singing to the Lord. And our Redeemer told us, he said, they toil not. They don't pile up food in barns. God feeds them. And they cry to him. And they sing to him when they get a meal. My grandpa used to say, when it come rain, leaves would start turning, cows start laying down. You can smell it coming. Rain comes. And I'd go outside to play. And he'd say, boy, he said, a chicken's got a head that big and it's got enough sense to gather rain. We don't even know to bow wholeheartedly to the God of all creation. Just in His creation. You walk outside and look at everything. He made that. Bow down. Worship Him right now. We ain't got enough sense to do that. Mankind in our natural state, we're fallen, we're depraved, wicked, unruly. We are enemies of God, and we can't approach God, and we don't want to approach Him. on our own, we will not seek Him. We will not beg for eternal salvation. It's impossible with men. We can't do it. It says there in verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The Word, Christ, He is life. And His creation, He's ruling all things and reigning all things at all times in every person alive. And we're all alive because He made us so. I looked this up several days ago. The human heart beats, the average human heart beats 4,300 times an hour. And in a day, in 24 hours, the average human heart beats 103,000 times. Did you do that? Did I make my heart beat 103,000 times? No, I didn't. The Lord made it beat. He gave us physical life. Paul said when He was pleased Him to separate me from my mother's womb. And He is the one that sustains this physical life. He said, for me to live is Christ. And He set our bounds in this physical life. He's appointed that final hour. It's appointed for man to die. What a physical, temporal picture we have in His creation that is me and you. Of our eternal life that God must give and He must sustain. Wholeheartedly. I can't make my heart beat. I can't make myself have spiritual life either. He has to give it. He has to do it. Left alone, we cannot enter into that or accept it. We don't want nothing to do with it. Look at verse 5. John 1, 5. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Does that mean the darkness didn't understand it? It didn't comprehend as we use the word? Yeah, it means that. They didn't understand it. But the word comprehend it didn't attain it. It didn't come upon. It didn't stumble upon it and find it. It didn't acquire it. There's nothing that darkness did to receive a light, and it didn't perceive it. It didn't know that light was coming. The darkness had nothing to do with the light, did it? It comprehended it not. It says down in verse 10, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him. He came into the world that He made, and the world knew Him not. And He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. That word receives there is the same as comprehend. He came unto His own, and we didn't find Him, we didn't acquire Him, we didn't perceive Him, we didn't attain Him. We didn't understand Him. We didn't know who He was until He revealed Himself to us. Birds do have more sense than we do, don't they? Turn over to Psalm 14. Psalm chapter 14. This is every man and child and woman since Adam fell in the garden. This is our problem. Our problem's not family issues. Our problem's not health issues. Our problem's not financial issues. It's not government issues or other wicked people. We've sinned against the Holy God. That one who is God, the Word, this wicked man right here standing before you, sinned against Him. If I ever commit a sin, it is against Him. We didn't receive Him. We didn't comprehend Him. He was preached to us and we didn't listen. Didn't want nothing to do with it. Look here in Psalm 14 verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Or you can take that out. The fool said in his heart, no, God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that comprehended, and sought God, and seek God. Well, surely somebody does, don't they? Somebody understands something. We're all smart folks. We send people into space and drive cars and do heart transplants, all kinds of stuff. Surely we seek God. Everybody in our brother's got a Bible, and they got bumper stickers more than they got Bibles. Surely somebody, out of all of mankind, when the Lord looks down, they understand and seek something of it, don't they? Look in verse 3. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No. No, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat at my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord. Oh, if we could call on the Lord. He'd reveal Himself when we called upon Him. Man tries everything we can. We read more, we pray more, we give more, we do more. We do everything we can. Or stop doing stuff. Quit doing it like them, like in Jonah. And men going into Tarshish. Throw everything overboard. Get rid of all that stuff. Stop cussing and drinking and carry it on. And stop doing it. Men tries everything they can. They can't get no comfort. And they can't get no peace. Only anxiety and fear. And more work to do. Something more to do. Look here in verse 5. Psalm 14:5. And they there were they in great fear. For God is in the generation of righteousness. You have shamed the counsel of the poor. Poor people, poor needy sinners will tell you what the Lord does, who they are and who Christ is. But you've shamed the counsel of the poor because the Lord is his refuge. You poor sinners, all you got's Christ. That's what that means. That was a... Is that just for mean, wicked people? Day in my life, I thought, surely, I mean, we could get some programs going. And years ago, I thought, we need basketball things. And there's some more higher things we could be learning. Some deeper things than just Christ is the Word and He's God. A man's a sinner and He's got to do something for him, and He does it through preaching. There's got to be more than that. I want a title. Somebody give me, maybe I get promoted. There's some upward mobility in this place. The poor come and say, I ain't poor. I got Him. You need Him too. Have I ever been rich? Because that's in the contrast of the poor, in the counsel of the poor. Have I ever been rich? Have I ever, in pride and in knowledge, been wealthy? An understanding of my own thoughts and the way that I saw good. Have I ever been rich like that and looked for a refuge other than a place of Christ the Word ever? Who then can be saved? You know what the disciples asked the Lord? He said, rich man ain't going into heaven. He said, who then can be saved? They ain't rich physically, right? It wasn't money he was talking about. Pride's what they're talking about. Turn back a little bit to Psalm 10. One page over. Psalm 10, verse 4. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. All of them. All of them. Do I agree with what the Lord says concerning me? It's a pretty harsh reality, isn't it? He's a holy God. You can't wear that out. Man's wicked. You can't wear that out either. We need to be apparent and conscious of these things at all times. Why? Well, we got a need. We know who He is, and I truly know if the Lord revealed in me who I am, I got a need. I ain't got a want. There's a difference. God reveals Himself in a person. He saves them. They will agree to this blindness. They will be convicted, and the verdict in their heart will be settled. That verdict's come. This is true. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. My thoughts were not honoring to God. Not just all the time, ever. Ever. Turn over to Isaiah 53. And we will confess that Christ came to save sinners. He came to heal those that are sick. That's who that great physician came for. He came to give life to dead men, whom I'm chief. That's what we tell. Tell everybody. That's us poor people giving counsel. Isaiah 53:1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? This is every one of us. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. And he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. We ain't going to comprehend him. We ain't going to receive him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You see how it keeps going back and forth? He's holy. We ain't. We can't get proud, can we? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. While in sin, this wretch that I am, while I was at enmity with God. I was at war with him. Because I want, maybe, you know, I get a little bit of an accolade. I get a little bit of pride. People ought to respect me a little bit, shouldn't they? I should have a little bit of respect. That's being at war with God. Christ died for the ungodly. That ain't good news, is it? Back in our text there. All the human race is an eternal mess. But God. How can we know about our sin? How can we know about this holy God we willfully rejected? The Lord's got to send a preacher. And when He does, it will be effectual. That grace of God to sinners will be irresistible. He'll be the stronger man that comes in. We're strong, we're at peace. The Lord comes, shakes us up, but then a stronger one comes in. Here, John 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, speaking of John the Baptist. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through Christ the light might believe. He was not that light. John wasn't. But was sent to bear witness of that light. He just came and told everybody what he saw. That's a witness. If you witnessed a car wreck, and you had to go to court, and they said, what happened at the car wreck? And you said, well, I was at the beach 3 years ago, and I had a really good time. And we went out to eat, and we ate some lobster. Judge goes, hush! Tell me what you saw. That's a witness. What did he witness? Verse 9. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. God's preacher comes declaring Christ, the Word, the light, the redemption, the resurrection. Not himself. Just as John's doing as he's writing his gospel here. They declare the way, not a way. The truth, not a truth. The life, not some other way of life, some other way of living. Whosoever, that doesn't refuse anyone, does it? But the proud, they won't. Whosoever calls on the Word, begging for mercy to be saved from themselves, He delights to show mercy to them. Turn over to Romans 10. Romans chapter 10. There in verse 13, Romans 10, 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, that bring glad tidings of good things, that bring that good news. There's mediation. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? That's what we just read in Isaiah 53, wasn't it? This is true. The Word dwelt among us and we didn't perceive Him. He did a work in us, so we tell folks. Not our thoughts, not my opinions, but what God says in His written Word. About Christ the Word. That's what we tell them. Verse 17. So then, we were all the same. Same there in Isaiah 53, wasn't it? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Who gave me ears to hear? The Word did. The Word made me hear His Word. That's what He did. Saving faith is given through the means of preaching the gospel of Christ the Word and nothing else. Who He is and what He did in and for His children. That's the only way God saves sinners. That's how He comes to us. That's how God the Holy Spirit will come in power. I can have all my doctrine right. I can be theologically dead on with everything that God says in the Scriptures. But if He doesn't bless it, the Holy Ghost doesn't come in power, give people ears to hear and put that incorruptible seed in them, it's for nothing. People just comb their hair, paint their nails, take a nap, and go on and do something else. Don't do no good. But message don't change. We don't start preaching something different and get folks to tune in, do we? Back in our text there. What happens when the Lord saves somebody through preaching of Him? They're born again. There's a new creation. They are made sons, made children, born into the family. Have an inheritance now. Look here in verse 12. But as many as received Him, attained Him, perceived Him, comma, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You can take those two commas there and read that straight through. But as many as received him, even to them that believe on his name, colon. It's going to be a listing of who those people are. Those that he gave power to, made believe, and received him, which were born. Not of blood, not of heritage, not because of who mommy and daddy was, nor of the will of the flesh. Me, I didn't choose him. I didn't attain him. I didn't perceive him. Nor of the will of man. Somebody else didn't do it. I wasn't baptized as a baby. Somebody didn't say a sweet little prayer for me on my deathbed. No, it wasn't another man, but of God. That's how we're born. I had just as much to do with my second birth as I did my first birth. God did it. How could that be? How could he be right to do so? If man's that's impossible, isn't it? But thanks be to God, all things are possible with him. Salvation to the Lord. How could this reconciliation take place? God has to do it all. And a true sinner, a desperate, needy person, I mean, that's truly God's revealed their sin to them. They wouldn't have it any other way. Don't want it any other way. Here's the work of the person. Look here in verse 14. And the Word was made flesh. Made a man. John's dealing with some things. We'll see down the road the Gnostics and the Diostics and all these that say, well, it's as if he became a man, because that would tarnish it. God says he became flesh. Pleased him. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us wretches, full of grace and truth. The whole time he was among this world he created that turned from him, that hated him, that willfully sinned against him, wanted nothing to do with him. The whole time he was down here dwelling with us for his people in grace and in truth, in perfection from the womb to glory. Nothing ever changed. He's a God. He changes not. And you know what? When we get to that, when we understand who he is, who we are, and what he did for us by becoming flesh and coming to this wicked, cursed world, which is what's way worse, he was made me, bearing my sin. He says there in the middle of that verse, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. He says, this is my Son, whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. That's him. That's it. Oh, we glory in him. We beheld his glory, not our own. Turn over to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 3. Romans 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, through me, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, in his body, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. How could you who have the law completely fulfilled in you and Christ in you, how can you walk after the Spirit? There's a new Spirit in you. This old man ain't getting cleaned up and polished up, and the old Spirit got refurbished with original serial numbers in it. There's a new Spirit. And that's the Spirit we're walking in. It was purposed, it was purchased, and it was proclaimed all completely by him. That three in one. As our surety, our atonement, and our propitiation, Christ became a man. The one who is a holy God and manifested on this earth that he created as a man for his people to save them from their sins. What a thought. Turn over to Galatians 3 and I'll let you go. Galatians 4, I'm sorry. Paul talks about this plainly here in Galatians 4. We were at war against God. We were enemies, but God saved us. He sent his Son for his people. He sent his Spirit through his witnesses, through his preachers, and gave us life. What a God to worship. What a God to have glory in. Look here, Galatians 4, verse 3. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, the Word, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we, might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons. Not because you're going to be. Not because you might be if you do something. Because ye are sons. God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We're sons now. We can cry that. We have a Father. Wherefore thou art no more servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. What a salvation. Christ is God. Man wanted nothing to do with Him. How can a people be saved then? God sends a preacher to them to preach Christ. Why did He do that? Because we are sons. His elect, put in Him before time began, and through the power of God, when Christ the Word is revealed to His people, we're given a new birth. We're given an incorruptible seed, a holy nature that cannot sin. He put away our sin as far as the east is from the west and made us a new creation in Him, given us eternal life. And all that took place because of the person and the work of Jesus Christ our Lord. That's who did it. Paul said a page back, Galatians 3, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Why'd He do that? That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Through the faith He gives us. We're born Abraham's seed because of Him. Wicked, vile, filthy, unclean, wretched sinners that wanted nothing to do with God. He chose a people. They say it so meanly to me. You believe in election, don't you? I sure do. That's how God saved some people. Made some people just like His Son. I love it. If I had to do something, I couldn't do it. Oh, but He did. And it's done forever. Finished. Finished. What did the Word do in His Word? It is finished. It's done. Well, what's left for man to do? Praise Him? Thank Him? Honor Him? Do we need to worry? No. Thank Him. I just run out of gas. Thank You, Lord. Oh, nothing could be. Whatever happened today is the absolute best thing that could ever happen in the life of a believer. We thank Him, Lord. Amen.